I'm Robert Rogers. This is Parkinson's Recovery, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you who are listening today to this discussion of the third of five steps that are critical to being able to launch a successful program of recovery that in the long run leads to significant relief of symptoms from Parkinson's, and if sustained and held, can ultimately result in a full relief of symptoms. And as I mentioned in the first two discussions, many of you who are new to these weekly teleseminars at 11 o'clock Pacific time are probably thinking that I've got a list of something very specific that I'm going to give to you. Perhaps I'll talk about an herb or a supplement, or better yet, how about this? How about maybe I've got some great concoction of antioxidants, and I'm going to bring that out, and, you know, if you only pay $59.33, I'll send you this magical concoction of antioxidants, and, oh, yes, we've got 4,921 testimonials of people who are feeling better, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? That's not really what this is about at all. That's not what I'm going to be talking about today. And that's not what I talked about during the first two teleseminars. So this is a sequence of five sessions, and we're now on the third. So what is it that is really critical and necessary to be able to recover from the symptoms of Parkinson's? During the first teleseminar, I talked about the power of thoughts and right thinking and how focus can yield such significant power. On the second teleseminar, I talked about the value of materializing your fondest wish. And by that, I suggested that each of you during this last week think of an activity that you might have given up that you are now ready to reclaim, whatever that activity might be. And for some examples, it might be playing bridge with some friends. It might be mowing the lawn. It might be traveling to Europe. It might be traveling to the United States, depending on where you live. It might be bowling or tennis or getting back to doing some of your artwork or music work. Whatever that fondest joy might be that you sorely miss because of one symptom or another that impedes your ability to engage that activity, the challenge for the last week was to identify that activity and in a 15-minute meditation materialize it. See it played out on a TV screen in all of the detail that you can muster up, and do that 15-minute meditation every day so that each day that becomes more and more materially visible to you. It becomes more real. It becomes more palpable. Today, the third step of this program is very simply put, stay on track. Think about what happens when you're driving on the highway. And when you're driving, you have a habit of speeding up to really racy speeds of 80 or 85. And then you're slowing down to speeds of 30 or 35. And you're doing this every minute or two. It's just a frantic kind of a situation where you want to push through the traffic. And then all of a sudden you get jammed up and you have to slow down almost to a standstill. Now, the reality is this is very, very inefficient and very, very costly. Think of a second example. You're riding the railroads in Europe, and your decision is you'd like to be able to go from London, England, on a train all the way to the southern part of France. and you've got a very specific place there on the coast that you've decided you'd like to go to. But as you get on the train, you decide what you're going to do is, you know, you want to have a pleasurable trip. What you decide to do is you decide to make side trips. And so at whatever whim might strike you as being up for that day, you get off the train here and there, and you spend a day or two or three or a week at that particular location. And I might add, having a great time. This is living life in its fullest, and life becomes a process where whatever seems to come up is what it is that you need to do. It's pleasurable, it's fun, it's engaging, it's energizing. But let me point out that when you're making a lot of side trips, you haven't arrived to your destination. You're doing lots of other great and interesting things, but you haven't arrived. You haven't attained what it is that you set out to attain. In other words, you have delayed your arrival. You have to maintain the same thought long enough for it to materialize. You have to keep it up there in your mind and in your presence, moment to moment, day to day, in order for this to actually happen. I want to give one last illustration of how staying off track is not going to help you be able to attain what it is that your heart desires. By simply thinking of a cuckoo clock, and I truly love cuckoo clocks that have a pendulum that simply swings back and forth, back and forth. Now, it does keep time, but I'd like to just point out that the cuckoo clock actually doesn't ever go anywhere. It waffles, it vacillates from side to side. Does tell you what time it is, but the fact is that the time simply goes around and around and around every 12 hours on that clock. The pendulum goes back and forth, but it doesn't really move anywhere. Of course, that's not what it's designed to do. Now, when you have a clear intention about what it is that you'd like to be able to accomplish for yourself in your life, what does being sidetracked really look like? Well, let me give you some examples, because I want to be very clear about what wishy-washy thinking is really all about. Last week, you envisioned an activity for yourself that you want to now manifest. And as you did those meditations every day, you did and were able to focus on that activity. You were able to detail out every day more and more clearly exactly what it is that you wanted to manifest, and you began to associate feelings with that desire. However, and this may sound familiar, as you were doing that work, chances are there were thoughts that would creep in. Thoughts while you were doing the meditation and thoughts during the day after the meditation. Now, let me just give you a few examples of what that thoughts are. I've had them. Everybody has them. So these are going to sound familiar. Here are the thoughts. It will never happen. I'm going to get worse because I deserve to get worse. I've tried everything. I mean everything. Nothing helps. I can't do this by myself, and there is no one to help me. I'm all by myself. I don't have the money to pay for the therapies. You know, Rogers talks about this and that. He interviews this fancy person and that fancy person. Let me tell you, it takes money to get all of that done. And that's just not where I'm at right now. Times are tough. I don't have the money to pay for it. Can't do it. Forget it. My friend, Sally Frazier, well, she's been working on reversing her symptoms of Parkinson's now for, oh my God, has it been 8 years or has it been 9 years? But, you know, you know, she's still at it. I mean, I don't think there's any great results either. I mean, she goes here and there. She exercises. I mean, you name it. But I don't, you know, Sally hasn't done it, and if she can't do it, I really don't think it's going to happen for me. Creep, 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 creep. Feeling after feeling after feeling after feeling. Thought after thought after thought after thought. All of which are wishy-washy discredits of the positive intention that you've set. So what is it that really happens when these negative thoughts creep in? When they creep in, they are what get the attention. They are what gets the energy, and they are what is manifested in your life. In other words, they dominate everything. Now, there's something else that's important to know about negative thought forms. They have very, very low frequencies. When we have those thought forms, we tend to go into a gloomy, dark state. It is depressing to have these battery of negative thought forms. And one negative thought form leads to another until we are, yes, indeed, on track, but it's not on the track to recovery. It's on the track to manifest everything that we said we did not want to have happen. So when we have negative thought forms, we're beginning to think things like, well, this difficulty walking, it's going to be with me the rest of my life. Negative thought form, that's all it is. It's a negative thought form. That feeds on to other negative thought forms. And again, that's what will dominate the outcome for you with regard to your recovery prognosis. Hesitation and wavering will weaken your resolve. They dilute whatever positive intention you may have set. What is it that is needed to be able to have a clear commitment to a recovery program? A strong will. Decisiveness. Hesitation will not get you anywhere. Wavering will not get you anywhere. Vacillation will not get you anywhere. Staying on track with positive thought forms are what will make the difference that makes the difference. What you want to do is to create the higher frequencies around yourself to sustain positive thoughts about the intention that you've set. Because when you do that, and when you hold those positive thought forms, you will materialize what it is that you have focused on far, far, far more quickly. And if you do not stay on track, I can assure you that it will not materialize. It will not materialize because the thought does not have the energy to translate into physical form. And again, remember, I've made the point on each of these sessions that thoughts are the most important force in the universe. So use them to your advantage. Why is it then that people do not manifest positive progress toward their recovery if they have the symptoms of Parkinson's? First, one of the reasons is they really don't know what they want. That's being wishy-washy. A person may say in the first hour of the morning, well, I'd like to be able to take a walk today. And then 30 minutes later they say, no, I don't want to take a walk. I don't feel that well. I think what I'd like to do is to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to, for the first time, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to make an organic dish with fresh vegetables. 30 minutes later, the thought form all of a sudden segues into, no, I don't have enough time to do that today. That's not going to work. Do you get the point? you really don't know what it is that you want. Decisiveness and a strong will are what will transform you into an entirely new energetic force for yourself. Second, you don't believe that recovery is possible. You really don't believe it. A lot of reasons for that, I might add. There are certainly many, many people out there in the universe who are saying that it is impossible to get relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's. It's just all over the place. If you hold that belief and truly believe it is true, then yes, it is true that you are not going to be able to sustain a positive thought form that recovery is possible. If people believe that they're going to get worse and feel worse, I will guarantee you that's what's going to happen. Guaranteed. If they believe in their hearts and sustain the positive thought that they're going to get better, that will happen. It's not going to happen in a minute or a day. It's not going to happen instantly. It's not going to happen with a smooth sailing set of progresses each day. It'll be jumpy. It'll be haphazard. It'll be full of surprises. But holding that thought form will make all the difference in the world. There's a third reason why people don't really succeed in an intention to manifest an activity that they've given up because of the symptoms of Parkinson's, and that is because perhaps you believe you don't deserve it for whatever reason. Well, those are deeply unconscious forces, and I will be talking about the reasons for those in later teleseminar sessions. If you then are wishy-washy and tend to mix the positive thoughts with the negative thoughts, you will manifest exactly what your thoughts reflect. You will manifest wishy-washy outcomes, guaranteed. Why do you become wishy-washy then? Because when you talk about your intent to begin to feel better, chances are others may be telling you with their looks, with their silence, or with their own thoughts, which we can also take in, although they're not expressed, that other people are saying, oh, you're being unrealistic. You know, it really is not possible to really get better. You just need to accept where you're at. That's what it's all about, my dear friend. After all, the doctor knows, and the doctor sees people all the time, and they're really people who know the true story. I suggest that you lift yourself out of the thought form web that is called Parkinson's. That's a name that happens to be given to a set of symptoms. That name is used by very highly trained medical doctors who go to school for many years and have extensive training, who are able to, once they understand that label, know many different types of medical treatments that might be possible for any particular individual. But they are in a negative thought form, because in that literature, what it says is, well, once you have the symptoms, you're always going to get worse. You don't have to be in that thought form. You can let them hold that for you. You can disassociate yourself from the label and let others do that work for you. I suggest in the work that you do with positive thought forms also that you keep your visualizations to yourself. Sometimes what happens is when we tell somebody else what we're dreaming about, those visualizations, those dreams, those heart's desires lose their energy because we can see in the reaction of the other person what they're probably thinking is, oh, poor Robert, He really thinks that he's going to be able to go skiing again. He really thinks that he's going to be able to go back to work again. He really thinks he's going to be able to drive again. I'm his spouse, I'm his friend, I'm his father, I'm his child, whoever, but I'm a person who loves him, and I just got to help him be able to accept where he's at. We all get older, and, he just needs to be able to accept and be resigned to his fate. In other words, your positive thought is instantly diluted, and you then move into that negative energy of wishy-washiness, thinking, oh, my son is thinking this is not going to happen. Oh, shoot, maybe my son is right. Maybe I really can't shift all of this out and be able to rejuvenate myself. Anything is possible, I assure you. And again, the key is in being clear and direct and focused and on track with your positive intention to essentially manifest what it is that you'd like to manifest. You control what's going to happen. The image that you create for yourself in your mind's eye with feeling is the reality that you will manifest. It is. So if it's wishy-washy thinking, I can guarantee you that is the reality that you will manifest. Wishy-washy outcomes. And chances are that means your actual physical body is going to be flaring with one symptom after another. And by the way, they will shift with wishy-washy thinking. What you'll notice is that the symptoms this week all of a sudden segue into another set of symptoms next week or next month. That's simply the reality that you are manifesting your wishy-washy attitudes toward life. Again, remember the keys: a strong will and decisiveness. Our thoughts mold our future. So it takes discipline to be able to begin to focus and stay on track with our positive intentions to actually heal. Why do so many people with Parkinson's get worse? So if you look out and you want to discredit your positive intention to get better, you're thinking, I just went to a support group and talking about being depressing. Everybody was talking about trying to slow down the progression. Notice the word, slow down the progression. In other words, they're accepting the fact they're going to get worse, and they would just like to get worse a little bit slower. Boy, how much more negative can you get than that? Well, the reason why so many people with Parkinson's do, in fact, get worse is because they believe and think that is what will happen. It's as simple as that. They believe and think that that's what's going to happen to themselves. Now, there's another set of explanations that I want to give to you about negative thought forms that are really quite fascinating. And it explains why it's so challenging to be able to hold a positive thought and sustain that thought without all of a sudden going into that wishy-washy territory of, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, I'm not going to be able to make this happen. Every time you hear from anybody else in your life, starting from the moment that you were conceived, a criticism, an attack, a charge, a judgment, a cruel word, that is actually stored in your body. Now, we all get a pretty large dose of that throughout our entire lives, especially children these days. It's quite amazing how cruel children can be to each other with their exclusions and with their clubs and with their cruel statements to the other people who are their friends. And of course, we get judgments from people that we thought loved us. We get cruel looks from strangers. All of that, as it turns out, is soaked in by our body. Now, you want to probably ask, wait a minute, you're getting a little on the fringe here. How in the world could this be the case? There are 8 billion magnetic electrical contact points in our brain. 8 billion contact points. And each of these contact points actually fires 3,000 times every second. Now, these are little microscopic events, of course, that are barely detectable to any microscope, but they are physically real. I'm not talking about, when we talk about energy, we're not talking about anything necessarily that you can hold on to with your fingers. You can see it with instruments. So it is physical in one sense. But here I am talking about an actual physical encoding, just like a computer stores information. Your brain stores everything, absolutely everything that has ever happened in your life. Now, we don't technically remember all of those horrible events, but they are still stored in our brain. So when we begin to move into that negative thought form frame, it activates all of those contact points. And remember, 8 billion, 3,000 time charged every second. We're talking about an enormous activity in our brains. I mean, it's churning all the time. So it's pretty easy to all of a sudden slip into those negative thought forms, because believe me, there are billions and billions of those negative thought forms that are literally stored in our brain. It's just the way it is. They are tiny, they are microscopic, and they have a powerful influence on who we become later on in our lives. Having said that, and true to the intention of this third teleseminar here in my series of five, every Thursday at 11 o'clock Pacific time, I'd like to do a meditation that will be an invitation to literally clear out these negative thought forms that are firing in everybody's brain. And to do this, I'd like to invite everybody who's listening in on the phone and those of you who are listening on your computer to really settle down. If you're taking any notes, put your pencil down. This will be on the recording later, so you can always listen to it over and over if you would like to. And I'd like to invite you to simply take some attention now to your body and relax whatever might be a bit tense in your body right now. Do a scan from your toes as you move up from your toes to your thighs, to your belly, to your shoulders, to your arms, and to your head. A quick scan, nothing quick is something quick is all that you need. And if you feel any particular muscle that's tighter than it needs to be, with your intention, just let it flop out so that you can really become relaxed. Because the more relaxed you are, the more effective this particular session will be for you. And let me invite you to take 7 slow breaths now as you listen to my voice. A breath in and a breath out, focusing your attention on the breath out. What that feels like is the air is actually leaving your lungs each time. In and out. And focusing your attention really on relaxing each and every cell and tissue and muscle in your body. I invite you now to think of a person who is living or who is not living to assist you with this activity. So think of someone that has helped you in the past, who has always been there for you in the past, and ask them not to be physically present with you, although they may be physically present in the moment, but just have them be present for you in your imagination. For those of you who are deeply spiritual, I invite you to call in to be present any spiritual being that you would like to be present. And I know for some of you this may consist of angels. I have learned recently that whether you believe in angels or not is really pretty irrelevant. If you call angels in to help you out, they will come. It is their duty to be present and to help you with this activity. So whether you believe in angels or not, let me invite you to call in whatever angel you might want to call in. And if you don't know the names of any angels, make them up, or simply put out there in your thought form, I'd like to ask whatever angels need to be present for me when I do this work. So call in whatever beings out there in your life that are real for you and that really make a difference. And ask them to be present. And what I want to also say is, don't do this by yourself. You can get help by simply asking for help, and that's why I am here in the moment. But ask for others to be present with you as well. Envision now a magnet and whatever shape you would like that magnet to look like. A magnet that will attract negative filament thought forms. See the magnet in your mind's eye. Sense it, feel it. Know that it's there. And now, I invite you to take this imaginary magnet that you have constructed for yourself and to place this magnet down a couple of inches below your belly button in your body. Stick it right in your body. And I'd like for you to turn this magnet on. It has an on switch. And what I'd like to ask you to do is turn the magnet on. And now have the magnet attract all of those negative thought form filaments that you have taken on over the course of your life. Allow the filaments to literally be affixed to the magnet. This is your place in your body where you store thoughts and feelings about yourself and others. Any words spoken to you out of cruelty will have energetic charges here in your body. There will be magnetic contact points that are present here in your physical body. So simply invite all of those negative thought forms that were judgments to be attracted to the magnet that you have placed in that part of your body. And with your intention, ask all of that to be released. And watch those filaments, just as you might see lead filaments being immediately attracted to a magnet. Watch those filaments be attracted to the magnet that you have constructed. All of these negative thought forms, these hurtful words, the cruelties that you have absorbed in your body. And now, as this magnet is full of these negative thought forms, lift it out with your imagination from your belly. Hold it up with your imaginary hand into the air. And simply ask whoever you have requested be present to take all of those negative thought forms and dissolve them as they are released out into the ethers. Invite them to be dissolved and released. And see the magnet now gain a purity in its color and its vibrancy, and a new life that has a much, much higher frequency. Take this very same magnet that has now been revitalized and re-energized, and with your imagination, insert this magnet where your stomach is located, which is right at the angle of the bottom of your rib cage. And with your imagination, place this special magnet in your body there. This is the place in your physical body where you hold thoughts about your place in the universe and why you are here, what you are here to do and to accomplish in this lifetime. And allow this magnet, again, to attract all of those negative thoughts that have been absorbed through all of the billions of magnetic contact points in that part of your body. And of course, as we do this, the filaments are also being drawn from all throughout your body and also your brain. So they're coming from all over your body to be affixed to this magnet. You can actually hear the filaments connecting to the magnet if you listen. And you can also smell a slight electrical smell, as you might smell when there's an electrical short circuit in an electrical wire. And you may smell other smells as well, as the magnet is soaking up all of these negative thought forms that you are carrying and have absorbed throughout your entire lifetime. Most of the magnets now are full. Take your magnet with your imagination out of your middle part of your trunk of your body. With your hand, place it out into thin air, and for whomever you've invited to be present with you today, ask them to help you release all of this into the ethers of the universe, and to transform those negative thought forms into neutral charges that can no longer affect you. Watch now that magnet revitalize itself. Watch the colors brighten. Feel the power of the energetic charge in this magnet. Feel the support of those who are here present with you to take all of that out and release it. Take this same magnet, and wherever you're called to in your body, whether it's your brain or your feet, insert it in the place in your body that may still have some of those negative charges and those negative thought forms. And literally gently comb your body with the magnet as you hold it and allow all of those negative thought forms to clink to your magnet. As you hear the clinking sound, the clicking sound, with the slight smell of those electrical short circuit charges, scanning across all of your body, wherever those negative thought forms may reside, sometimes in the throat, for we don't always speak our truths to others out of fear and hesitation. So allow all of those filaments to now be absorbed into your imaginary magnet. And for a third time, hold that magnet as those who are present with you now release all of those negative thoughts into the ethers of the universe effortlessly. See as those filaments are released and fly away, the magnet recharge instantly, ready to take away at any request any negative thought form that you're holding in your body that may still reside. The magnet is always available to you to use. It's always there. And the beings, living or dead, living or not living, who have been present with you in this meditation time are always available to be summoned to help. Take your magnet now and store it away in your body, wherever you would like to store it. It's there for your use whenever you would like to activate it. I invite you now to come out of your meditative state and become aware of your surroundings, of the walls in the room, the sounds, the colors, and the smells, to take a nice, deep, slow breath, congratulating yourself on setting the intention to release the billions and billions and billions and billions of negative thought forms that you have absorbed throughout your entire lifetime. The reason why this activity is important is that there are so many negative thought forms that are stored magnetically and electrically in our body that the minute one negative thought pops into our head, it tends to trigger and activate all of the other negative thoughts. It's like a chain reaction. And once that's engaged, it's hard to turn it off and to convert back over to the positive thought form. So it's not that it's a bad thing. It happens to us all. It's just important to consciously acknowledge what's happening. And if you notice, you begin to float into that negative thought form place, take out the magnet and begin to absorb all those negative thought forms so that you can get back on track. And with your meditation, set the intention of the positive result that your heart so desires. The positive thought forms are what will make the difference between being able to recover or not recover. And today, the theme has been wishy-washiness coupled with negative thought forms will result in exactly that outcome, wishy-washy outcomes. So, with courage, with determination, with focus, with a positive intention, hold the positive thought and intention of what it is that you have set to accomplish for yourself. Always ask, is this all that I really want? Materialize it so that you can see exactly what it looks like. So for the activity that you've given up that you want to reclaim, make it real, make it palatable, feel it, see all the colors, hear it, see the people who are with you, enjoy it, take pleasure in it. Four, the more often you can feel it and see it and want it in your heart, the quicker it will happen. I have some questions I need to address now, today. The first comes from Menorah, who is from Denver, and the question is this. Is it better to retire to get stress out of your life? My job can be very stressful. I believe that stress is all about us. It's everywhere. We can't avoid stress. I'm also aware that for many people, retirement is actually more stressful than working. It's not clear to me then necessarily that retirement is in any way a solution to stress. Now, for some people, it clearly may be, especially if the job is extremely stressful. An alternative way of approaching this challenge for yourself, Menorah, I would suggest is begin to develop your own ways of responding to stressful events in our life. Norman Fisher, who is a very famous man who's written many, many books on meditation, basically says that the problem we create for ourselves is we put a head on top of our heads. So that when something happens, we begin to create interpretations of the meaning of that event that make it even worse. One way then to approach the challenge of stress at job is to begin to develop approaches for reacting to the stressful events that do not then trigger the heads on top of heads. A reason that I have had a series of teleseminars with individuals who are experts in meditation really is just for this purpose, is to give people many, many ideas of how you can practice being able to be in the moment, and when you are in the moment, you do not then activate all of those stress hormones. I invite you to listen to all of the teleseminars that we have had with these experts. We're having more to come in the future of these people who've written books who have such wonderful ideas about how you can address stress in your life. And the idea I would, the hope, the prayer I would have for you, Menorah, is that you will find an approach that is successful for you, whether you decide to retire or not. I also have a meditation series that you find on the member website. I also have that in CD form. There is a series of meditations on stress, which is, again, another approach for being able to figure out ways to balance hormones. And by the way, there's a Valentine's special on that meditation series on those of you who are connected through the internet, and you can see a link there on the internet page. There's a connection to the meditations that are on CDs. You can get them on the member site. They're all available there. Or if you'd like them in CD form, you can actually purchase them and read them as well as listen to them on the CDs. There's a Valentine special, so I don't want anybody to order that without putting in the coupon code, special secret, top secret coupon code that gives you 50% off of the price. The code is Valentine, So be sure to put the word in, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E, Valentine. And that will essentially set the shopping cart so that instead of the $99, it converts down to $49. And that'll be shipped to you. So it's a, it's another approach that you could consider for being able to reset your reactions to stressful events in your life. SARS from Raleigh asked, does cycling help Parkinson's disease? The research on exercise and the symptoms of Parkinson's is unequivocal. It is very clear that if there's any one thing that you can do that is guaranteed, and I'm using that word, guaranteed, to provide relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's, it is exercise. And then the more specific question is, what form of exercise is going to be most beneficial? And the answer I've got for you, Sarah, is the form of exercise that you enjoy is the perfect form of exercise you need to do. We need to have ways of exercising that we enjoy, that we love, because when we have that, we are truly going to do it regularly. And when I say regularly, the best regularity is every day, literally every day. I take a day off every week from exercising, either lifting weights or running, but I notice a huge difference in how I feel every day when I exercise. And again, I run because I love to run, and that's obviously not an answer for many other people. Swimming, tandem cycling, walking itself is a wonderful exercise. If we can basically move every day the equivalent of 5 miles, and by that I mean not in focused exercise, but in movement. So if you were to have a tracking instrument on your on yourself when you woke up in the morning, if you tracked all of the walking that you did from the bed to the kitchen to the living room to the car, et cetera, if it totals up to 5 miles, then you're getting the exercise that the body needs. In our society today, we tend to sit in chairs and stand around, and really we don't move. And for a lot of reasons, exercise is what everybody needs to do every day. The more you move, the better you'll feel. It is possible, if you're not used to exercising, that you will very likely feel very sore after you exercise in the beginning, and you might get discouraged and say, oh, heavens, this is not working. I can assure you that's just a temporary challenge. Let me also explain the reason why exercise has such a profound impact on the symptoms of Parkinson's. The reason is that when you exercise every day, you reset the metabolism thermostat in the body, which means that you are essentially able to lower the metabolism that's necessary for any activity. So let me give you an illustration of what happens. Let's take a person who is sedentary. In other words, they do not exercise at all. And this person is at their home, they're sitting in their living room, and they are having a conversation with a friend. And suddenly there's a large knock at the front door, which is unexpected. And so the person immediately jumps up and basically almost runs to the front door, fearing that maybe something happened to a friend or a neighbor or a relative. And they open up the door. Now, what's just happened is all of the hormones in the body that have to be activated to make movement possible are flooded throughout the body. There's a huge surge of adrenaline that is poured into that person's body because they're not used to being physically active. What that does then is it creates a greater imbalance in the hormones, the mix of 40 or so hormones in the body that are needed. So all of a sudden the dopamine gets shortchanged, let me tell you, and the adrenaline gets top billing. So there's a with a person who's immobile, there is a metabolism that's activated each time they become physically active that then creates a greater imbalance. With exercise, the metabolism is shifted. The body gets used to being active so that when there is any activity at all, the flood of hormones that are associated with all of the adrenalines is not activated as it is in the sedentary person. In other words, it's a guaranteed way to be able to help your body naturally balance the hormones that need to be balanced in order for you to get great relief from your symptoms. I know of no study that's been produced, and boy, we have a barrel full of them, that says anything other than that. Exercise helps. Any kind of exercise helps. There's even one study. It's quite amazing. These people decided what they would do is they would ask people with the symptoms of Parkinson's to do a 2-minute little exercise of raising their arm up and down. It really wasn't very strenuous at all. They did that for 2 minutes on 2 sequential days, and they had a control group that didn't do that, and they measured their physical symptoms, and they saw a significant relief in the people who did that very short 2-minute exercise that was sustained 48 hours afterward. That's pretty amazing, 2 minutes. And you see a significant and a detectable improvement in symptoms for that short period of exercise. That's actually the study that motivated me to create on the member website the 2-minute exercises. A lot of people may think and look at that and say, well, that's not going to do me any good. Well, let me tell you, it's quite amazing. If you do that 2 minutes, you actually do get incredible relief from symptoms. That's why I put those up there. I'm hoping everybody will take 2 minutes out of every day to do them, because you're going to see some great relief. So my answer to your question is unequivocally yes. Cycling will make a huge, huge difference, especially if you love it and you're going to do it every day. The next question asked is, what is the third of the 5 steps? And we just talked about that today. So the third of the 5 steps is stay on track. Stay on track. That question comes from Kanta from Mumbai. And Kanta also asks, what are the 5 steps? So I had to think about how to answer that question, Kanta, because we've talked about the 3 steps that I've already done in the first 3 teleseminars here over the last 3 weeks. The first is the focus of thinking. The second is to materialize the thought. And the third today is to stay on track. I'm really pulling material from many, many different sources. There's wonderful work out there that has been done on how you manifest your heart's desire. I mean, it's wonderful work, and I'm really synthesizing a lot of that and applying it to individuals who are dedicated and interested in getting relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's. There is a book that I want to refer you and all other persons to, Kanta, who'd like to jump this ahead, who'd like to be able to know all 5 steps, a book that's been an inspiration to me, and a woman who's been an incredibly helpful consultant to Deborah and I in the work that we have done. It's a book by Mary Browne, Browne, called The 5 Rules of Thought, and I've got that book listed on your teleseminar page. So you'll be able to click on that, and if you'd like to actually order it, you can. Or, of course, you can also get that at the public library. It's a wonderful, sweet book. No new ideas in this, but it's sweetly presented and simply explained. And so if you'd like to get a jump start on the full picture, although it's not applied to Parkinson's, I invite you to look at Mary Browne's book. It's really a sweet book, and she's quite a wonderful person and has been very helpful, again, to both Deborah and I. And finally, the last bit of information for everybody is I have constructed the Parkinson's Recovery website, really with the ideas in mind of helping people to construct positive thought forms each and every day. So the idea of this activity is that you visit this website every day, 5 days a week, and it helps you to be able to maintain the focus, the determination, the courage and the dedication and the hope that is required to be able to recover. And I invite anybody to look at the explanation of the site. It costs the grand sum of $1 to get in there for 30 days. And there's a ton of information there as well. Interviews, there are teleseminars. We've got basically all the components that I have learned from my interviews are critical and necessary for people to be able to recover from Parkinson's. So to get information about that, there's a click item there on the teleseminar page, or for those of you who are listening in on the phone, the website is www.parkinsonsrecovery, all one word, without an apostrophe, so that's parkinsonsrecovery.org, O-R-G. And that explains what this member website is. And again, it's simply my idea. You're not going to find anything like this out there anywhere in the universe. It's my creation after I began to realize that a key to recovery is really not necessarily selecting the right supplement or the right therapy or the right modality. Of course, that can make some difference here and there. But the key is the focus and the dedication on positive thought forms that then lead to all the processes that are conducive to recovery. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do for me. And so that's why I created this Parkinson's Recovery website, so that by visiting every day, you remind every cell in your body, that's right, I am recovering. It is possible. Anything is possible. The body really can accomplish anything if we give it the support that it really needs. So I invite all of you to check in with that and really to try it out for 25 days. If you decide not to stay, all you have to do is give me an email. We'd be sure to get you out of that system. But it's virtually a free way of being able to reset your thinking thermostat so that you are on a positive track to recovery. I've explained the low energy that is associated with the negative thought forms. And so what I encourage you to do now is to forge ahead with positive thinking and positive thought forms. And for this next week, my invitation is to carry your magnet around with you always and to do exactly what we invited you to do during this brief meditation. Take that magnet, and whenever you hear a negative thought form pop into your brain, simply take that magnet and invite the magnet to attract that negative thought form filament and dissolve it back into the ethers. And that, I think, you'll find will be incredibly helpful, because what we want to do is to give you a huge dose of positive energy and to inculcate every cell of your body with positive thought forms. Again, I say again, and I say this 4 or 5 times in every teleseminar, your thoughts will determine whether or not you recover or not. So shifting thoughts to make them focused and positive will be what is all that you need to be able to see a relief of your symptoms. And again, remember, it takes the physical body time to be able to respond. So you're not going to be able to have clear and dedicated positive thinking and see an immediate result. It doesn't work that way. It takes time for thoughts to manifest themselves into physical energy. And that's why we have to hold these positive thoughts with clarity and focus and intention. And we need to recognize that when we become wishy-washy and begin to doubt those thoughts are losing energy, and so that becomes less and less likely we will be able to manifest what it is that we desire ourselves to manifest. It is holding that positive thought form continuously with focus and intent that gives it power, and the stronger the thought form is, the quicker you will manifest what it is that you set out to manifest. I wish each and every one of you the best of luck in your work this week with siphoning off and soaking up and magnetizing and releasing each and every thought form that you find yourself having. We've already taken care of quite a few of those thought forms that have accumulated over a lifetime. But there are always some of those negative thought forms that are going to hang around. So you've got your magnet. ready to apply whenever it's needed. And remember, you can scan it. You can put it wherever in your body you feel like is necessary. Sometimes when you have a symptom, it may be there's maybe some negative thought forms that are trapped right in the area of that symptom. So take that magnet right over there and suck up whatever negative thought forms might be present there. And get the helpers that you call in to dissolve all those negative thought forms. Believe me, shifting thought forms is the key to being able to recovery, to recover from the symptoms of Parkinson's. It's been a true joy to talk about the third of five steps in being able to recover from Parkinson's. This is Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery, and that is what's happening here at Parkinson's Recovery on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the men are handsome, all the women are smart, and all the children are loved. Know that simply by virtue of listening to this, you are on the road to recovery. Good day to all.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end. Welcome to the conferencing service. Please enter your conference on.